This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Which will I take? Taking a little bit of a vacay for the first time in a long time coming up next week. And I was thinking about this. A lot of people take vacations in August. I always have fond memories because that's when my family took their break. We would go to the Jersey Shore, not like the shore that you saw immortalized on MTV, a different kind of Jersey Shore, but you get the idea. My mother actually took a breath, and I'd see her relax, and it was so fun. We'd go crabbing and fishing and play horseshoes, and I learned to water ski badly. I learned to sail, okay, but had a lot of fun, that's for sure. So I think it's important for everybody to take a breath. I'm taking a little bit of a breath coming up next week, and I know that a lot of people have tried to do the same, and unfortunately their plans were thwarted thanks to problems with the airlines. Man, it has been really a nightmare out there for so many people. Kate Delaney, we've rolled the red carpet out for everybody who is joining us for this show, whether you're a longtime friend of the show or you've just dipped in for the first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And here's how we roll. We talk about the buzz in your backyard and mine, why we're talking about it. And it doesn't matter if you wear an R, a D, an I, or you don't want to be identified as anything. You just want to have the conversation. Absolutely, you can be part of this party. The party is not a party when it comes to Spirit Airlines. It's been probably the worst of the worst where people, I get it, you get an airline ticket that's pretty cheap, you feel good about it, you can get from point A to point B. I mean, after all, nobody wants to burn through the cash, especially when so many have had to dip into savings and barely string things together in many cases because of the pandemic. But you get that chance finally to get away, and you got a great deal on Spirit, and unfortunately Spirit got you because it's been terrible with Spirit Airlines. They've had to cancel so many flights, and they're talking about the fact that it's the same thing. They've had computer problems. They've had problems with the piloting, getting pilots and crew in places, and weather. I mean, there's not much you can do about the weather. If the weather is nasty and flights are canceled and backed up, all you can do is apologize and try to move forward. But they got to get it together fast, because I would say if you want to look at an airline where people are just, no matter what the cost is, are just disgusted with what's happened with the long lines and being stranded and having more than half of the flights canceled and the CEO saying we couldn't get in front of it, and it's just a meltdown. What do? Meltdown doesn't work for a lot of people. So will they come back to the famous black and yellow tube that flies in the air? I don't know. I think that there may be some drop off. They're trying to work to improve reliability and customer service, and that's been something they've been working on for years, by the way. And I think they just got a serious black eye because of what's happened. And you do have people that were trying to take some last minute vacations with kids to get to go see grandmothers and parents and sisters and other relatives and friends, and they blew days just trying to figure out how to get rerouted. I mean, if you just look at Thursday, 446 flights were canceled, 56% of the operation, and you think of day after day of the cancellations, and then trying to re-rack people, it just doesn't add up. And unfortunately, the Walt Disney leadership and professional training is not paying off. This is what Spirit did, seriously. They wanted to improve how they were seen as far as reliability. So in 2017, there is a Walt Disney Institute, and it's about customer service. So they went to Walt Disney's leadership and professional training subsidiary, the Disney Institute, to help them on that aspect of their game. And I don't know, did it work or not? It seems like they're having some problems with it. Or they're with the back up in staffing and the faster responses to operational hiccups and technology. That's all those things that you got to get in front of. And, of course, as I mentioned, if you've got weather, people get that. But they couldn't blame it all on weather. They had too many other things happen along the way. So people lost, like I said, a day here, a day there. And before you know it, your entire vacation is eaten up. It's almost the end of the Olympics, and more medals have been handed out. The American team, Team USA, has won 90 medals, 90 medals. But gold, not as many as maybe you would think, and part of that is because of how many other athletes are there and teams and what's being handed out, and then losing some of those gold, seeing them slip away. But besides the 30 gold, 35 silver, 27 bronze, 92 actually, because this just, I have something to alert me, that just changed. So 92 medals altogether. Nobody even close to that number. China's got 74 with the 34 gold and the 24 silver and the 16 bronze. And I'm wondering how many of you have paid attention to any of this Olympics, maybe some of the Olympics. I mean, it's kind of been a mixed bag. That's what I found when I've gone to our mailbag. And in fact, some of you had comments about the Olympics, and we'll hit that when we go to the mailbag coming up next. Also coming up this hour, a mic drop and a few other things that we're going to stick in there in between. A few little treats that I'm going to drop along the way. I'll tell you what I was excited about. I think of beach volleyball is pretty tough, and to see the USA team of April Ross and Alex Kleinman win gold was very exciting, because they had that extra year, just like all the other athletes, and they beat a tough Australian team that they said they were worried about beating, and they pulled it out in a big way. They were attacking. Those serves that you just can't return in the sand. And the sand, they had a water. Check this out. Here's something to take away if you could care less about the Olympics. Imagine you have a chance at a gold medal or any medal, and you're playing in this deep sand in front of no crowd, because there's no roar of the crowds. But it feels like your feet are on fire. It's like 129 degrees, because that's what the sand was like. It's so hot in Tokyo, and they sprayed it down, sprayed everything down like moments before they got out there, but it was super hot. So they were like playing on top of hell, really. That's what it was like. So congratulations to them bringing home the gold for Team USA. Go to the mailroom. I'm walking right now. I'm going to get your emails. See you there.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
We are in the mailroom, and, yep, we're going from spot to spot. It is kind of flooded with your virtual thoughts. Let's jump out at this one. This one is from Kay, and she says, Kate Cuomo needs to go. I've been listening to some of your commentary about him. There's no doubt he is totally off base with me, too. Where was he when that happened? Not at home. I don't get it. He just somehow is defiant over what has happened. It is a different world, and trying to excuse it as all these politicians hug people, etc., that's not the description of what these women are saying. I do believe in the smoke and fire theory, that just too many people came forward. There's too many specifics. There were other people that witnessed some of what happened, and he's the governor, for God's sake. He can't do the things that he's doing. He wasn't a nightclub owner, and the way it sounded, I think he forgot that somehow along that way. So shame on him for not resigning. Yeah, not resigning. You know, they're talking about this whole impeachment investigation, so they're looking into the allegations against the governor, the misconduct. And it's close to concluding. What happens now is they can impeach him. So the committee's attorneys, because they have a committee, that's how they do it. The committee's attorneys invited Cuomo to submit additional evidence or written submissions to the committee no later than August 13th. So, you know, this thing is going to drag out longer because I really don't think he's resigning. 11 women, including current and former state employees, say it was just simply a hostile work environment for women. And this is a guy who signed legislation that mandated sexual harassment training in New York State. But he didn't recall taking the training, by the way, himself, except in 2019, and had a certificate showing that he completed the training, apparently that was signed by a colleague. So he may have been a rising star in the Democratic Party, but his star has dimmed. The fallout from this report, I just don't understand. You know, even the best of them, politically speaking, have tried to dig in when the handwriting's on the wall, and eventually they crack, they crumble, they go away. Instead, nah, he's continuing to hang in there. Don't worry, Kay, he's going to be gone. Absolutely. All right, this one is from Thomas, and Thomas says, hey, Kate Delaney, wow, on how many vaccinations in the last 24 hours, the highest that we've seen in a very long time, almost 900,000 vaccines. I thought I was mishearing it when I was driving around today, but apparently something gives, and maybe it's the fact that too many young people are getting stung by the Delta variant and the hospital rates have shot up, and that's perhaps scaring a few people. And we're sick of the Delta variant. We're sick of the pandemic. We're sick of being trapped in the mess of this nightmare. And maybe that's enough to have some people change their minds, realizing that they probably are good candidates for the vaccine and don't have that excuse that a few do have where it would be deadly for them. I like the way you say that, because you're right. There is, I was talking about this tonight with somebody, there are people that legitimately shouldn't get it. It's a small amount. But getting the vaccine and knowing that, okay, what if you did get COVID, but you're not fighting for air and trying to fight for oxygen and a space in the ICU? I just can't, in my mind, I just can't imagine the horror of that. And families praying, waiting, FaceTiming, and not sure if somebody's going to leave the hospital. We went through this for months at the very beginning of the pandemic, in the middle of the pandemic, and then there was kind of light at the end of the tunnel, and then the light dimmed again. Clearly, none of you want that. I want that for nobody listening to this show, even if you don't agree with half of what I say. I don't. Even if you're not a big fan, I don't want this for anybody. I mean, we're seeing the impact of the unvaccinated and the unprotected. And you know what? They're responding. I think they're getting vaccinated. You know, sometimes you have to be persuaded. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you're hearing things that make you get frightened. I mean, do we want to get vaccines? Do we want to line up and get vaccines? No. Do we want to wear masks? Do we want to be in a pandemic? Do we want to have our lives turned upside down? No, no, no. So Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, Oklahoma, Mississippi, people are getting vaccinated. I'm proud of you. At a pace they haven't seen since April. Tennessee has had a 90% increase in the first shots over the past 2 weeks. Oklahoma, I love my Oklahomans. They've had an 82% increase. Georgia, a 66% increase in first shots over the past 2 weeks. So there you go. I mean, sometimes you see, and you have a family, you have kids, you're concerned, and rightfully so. Let's move to this one. This one is from Gregory. And Gregory says, hey, Kate, I'm so just disenchanted with politics in general. And I hate to say that because I know that you talk about voting, and I have voted in every single presidential election and every local election. And I've been super involved in what the issues are. And I'm actually kind of proud of that instead of just burying my head in the sand when I'm frustrated by what I see right and left. But, you know, the more we keep moving forward at this fast pace with technology and innovation and things that are happening around us, it is the more disenfranchised I think many of us become, because it is just hate, hate, hate. It's like you say, we are in this constant tug of war, the us's and the them's. It's you and me against all the others. I don't really understand that. I understand differences of opinion. I understand compromise. I understand having friends that think differently than I do. But now you can't think differently because you're either with a bunch of people that feel or think the same way as you, or you're not. And that's too bad, because America is an incredible country, as you say, the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we are slowly letting her turn into a hate machine. All right, you weren't very specific. I'm assuming it's the debate over the vaccines or the masks or, you know, something else politically speaking, where the divide is just too much. And certainly we see that families have broken up as a result of that. Friendships have broken up as a result of that. Yeah, it's sadly the world we live in, right? It's not let's come together, which it should be. And in many cases, it is. Because I've seen things from the community I've seen some incredible things, and I know many of you have too, of helping all kinds of people no matter what the circumstance is. And I think healthy debate is great. I mean, do I want somebody around me 24/7 that parrots my ideas and opinions? No. But there's one thing to disagree and have a healthy debate and be able to admire or like a friend or a family member. It's another just to have that pure hate. I get what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. This one's from William. Kate, have you seen the numbers for the jobless claims? Boy, they've really dropped off. There are so many jobs out there right now. Let's hope we kill off this sucker called Delta and we pump more of those jobs into the economy and get more people working. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits fell last week by, 14,000 to 385,000. So that certainly is evidence, because we look at the numbers, for what it's worth, that the economy and the job market are certainly rebounding from the coronavirus recession. The Labor Department reported on Thursday that unemployment claims dropped last week from a revised 399,000 the week before, and the applications have mostly fallen pretty steadily since smashing the 900,000 in early January. Isn't that crazy to think about that? Almost a million. But they're still pretty high, historically speaking. But I think the good news is companies are posting job openings. There was 9.2 million in May, and applicants are showing up to actually fill them out. So that's good all the way around. Remember, 24/7, you can shoot me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs loves Beyond Tangy Tangerine, a complete nutritional supplement from Longevity. That's why he recommends it to everyone he meets and takes it himself every day.
Beyond Tangy Tangerine, my personal favorite longevity product, multivitamin, mineral complex powder. You add it to water and drink. It's a great way to get yourself off the snack foods. It's a great way to demonstrate to folks who are non-believers in nutritional supplementation how effective a supplement program can be. It's great for kids. It tastes awesome. It's less than $50 a month, and it's truly a cornucopia of nutrition. Vitamins A, C, D, E, K, your B complex.
To get a nutritional supplement that's loaded with nutrients that even your kids will like, order Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470, or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernard. Former President Donald Trump on Thursday hit out at the U.S. women's national soccer team after they won the bronze medal, saying they could have won gold if the team wasn't woke. The Hill reports.
Wokeism makes you lose, ruins your mind, and ruins you as a person. You become warped. You become demented. The U.S. women's soccer team is a very good example of what's going on.
Companies that are mandating COVID-19 vaccines for their employees are making a mistake, as individual responsibility must be respected when it comes to making health decisions, Senator Ted Cruz argued Thursday. Cruz said he, his wife, and their parents have gotten the shots, and he does encourage people to get vaccinated as well, but he also believes in individual freedom. This is USA Radio News. Rand Paul slammed a column posted by The Atlantic and written by Juliet Kayyem, a former Assistant Secretary for Homeland Security under President Barack Obama. In the column, she states a no-fly list for unvaccinated adults is an obvious step that the federal government should take. On Thursday's Fox and Friends, Paul called the column obscene.
So it makes no sense. It's complete collectivism. And all of these people are the same people who hooted and hollered and said, Trump is leading us to authoritarianism. What could be more authoritarian than a no-fly list for people who disagree with you?
This week, senators are debating the over 2,700-page, $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, with Democrats targeting this weekend to finalize the package. The Democrat leader said he's looking at holding a key vote to end the debate quickly. Minority Leader Senator Mitch McConnell warned not to rush the consideration of amendments. This is USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6. And it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Drop moment, and it has to do with an expensive gift that, I don't know, somehow has gone missing. You know, with the government, there are strict rules about gifts that you can accept and gifts that you cannot accept. With pretty much, you can't accept gifts from heads of state or departments, other departments from other countries, or pretty much anyone, any kind of an expensive gift, because that would be like considered maybe a bribe, or it's just not, you know, it's part of the whole contractual thing anyway. So we're going to get to that here in a few moments. But before we do that, let's talk about a couple of things that are happening with the drought. I was talking about Arizona, my Arizonian friends that are listening. The drought is really bad. I said something about farms, and then I had read some stories about what you're not necessarily thinking about, some of the farms in Arizona outside of Phoenix, and it is beautiful, because I've driven through stretches where there's some incredible farmland. And unfortunately, like so many places in the West, because of the lack of water and the problems with the reservoir being too far away and whatnot, with the water drying up, you got canals and ditches that are empty, and you have some farmers that are, and remember, farming is usually now it's pretty big, and it's sort of the big guy and a few little guys still out there, I'll put it that way. But you wonder, with the fire season, the scorching that's going on, how many of these farms will survive? In Arizona, 99% of the land is undergoing years-long drought that has just accelerated. It's like kicked into high gear. So you have large areas that swaths that are in extreme distress, and it might get worse because, and I said this the other day, the snowfall, you're looking at the snowfall feeding the streams. If you're not getting that, and you're not getting that monsoon season, you're not having any kind of a reprieve. You know, you're not getting that. And it's, you know, that you just a little trickle will do, just something. How do you loosen it up? I mean, the state where, Arizona, where more than a third of all water can trace itself up the Colorado River to Lake Mead, is forced to make do with less because beginning next year, that lake's dwindling supply is dwindling even more. So the history of Arizona is the history, somebody said to me, of water, really, if you look at it. And you look at what they relied on when it was settled and what happened with the Colorado River. And then you look at technological advances. And I really get into this farm stuff because, you know, when I started my career, and some of you grew up on farms and some of you have visited farms and some of you are maybe small farmers or maybe you have a giant farm, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it fascinated me when I started my career and I spent some time in Nebraska and the farmers, I had them explain to me, you know, I'd go out with certain crops, I'd go out with them, they would show me what was happening and what they were doing and the irrigation, all the stuff that happened. And water is life, right? It's life all the way around. So you have these excessive heat warnings, like the Grand Canyon has its own crazy heat warning that's happening. And it's a popular destination, of course, for hikers, but they're telling people avoid the canyons because temperatures near the base of the canyon could hit 115 degrees in the next 2, 3, 4 days. I mean, you know, the National Weather Service in Flagstaff, Arizona, says that the level of warning is reserved for only the hottest days of the year and is issued when temperatures are expected to rise to dangerous levels. So hiking the Grand Canyon could be thrilling, but perilous if you're not prepared. So they're discouraging people to do anything physical between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on, you know, throughout the weekend. And hikers, that's what hikers do. You go up and down, you know, the canyon. And they're telling people not to go further than 1.5 miles. I wonder how many people are going to heed that warning. Have you ever hiked the Grand Canyon? That's a story for another show. Things you do for love. I'm just going to leave it right there with you. And just someone remind me about it. Things you do for love that you didn't necessarily want to do and foolishly did. There's the big setup. The State Department says, you know, we're looking into where this $5,800 bottle of Japanese whiskey might have gone. It was gifted to the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, according to State Department filings, because that's what you have to do in the Federal Register. The government of Japan gifted the whiskey to him in 2019, but it's unclear if he received the whiskey or if a staffer accepted it. Pompeo said that he never received the bottle of whiskey. He had no idea it was missing, nor what happened to that gift. He said, I assumed it wasn't ever touched. It never got to me. I have no idea how the State Department lost this thing, although I saw enormous incompetence at the State Department, ba-dum-bump, during my time there. And he said the funniest thing, had it been a case of Diet Coke, yeah, I'd be all over it. So even his lawyer got involved and said that the former Secretary of State had no recollection of receiving the bottle of whiskey and doesn't have any knowledge of what happened to it. So this has become a big deal because the missing gift raises ethic concerns for Pompeo, who wants to run for president in 2024. He said, as he was appearing on Fox News, that this is crazy talk. And if the State Department wanted to reach out to him, he was happy to try and help them find it. Because here's the thing. Knowing and willful failure to disclose a gift could result in $50,000 in a civil penalty or even jail time if you were actually prosecuted for it. So if it turns out that he did take the $5,800 bottle, he would have to disclose it as a gift in his financial disclosure report. Who has that whiskey? Does anybody out there know what happened to this special bottle of Japanese whiskey? I mean, craziness. So the State Department's independent watchdog earlier this year found that Pompeo and his wife, Susan, did violate federal ethic rules by making over 100 personal non-work-related requests to department employees, from ordering gifts to booking salon appointments and taking care of the family dog. I mean, come on. You can't let them just have somebody take care of the family dog. I'd call mic drop on that. I don't know. It is crazy talk. It is funny, though, that this bottle of whiskey is really causing the State Department some reason to be upset. So whoever has the whiskey, turn it in. Turn it in. You know what? Who knows? Can you imagine the gifts that flow in that maybe you wouldn't be aware of? We used to have the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Nayon, who went to prison in the Jack Abramoff scandal, and he and I would have the best conversations. On the air, we'd have these conversations, too. And as he said, you know, now he is clean and sober, but he liked to tilt a few back. And what got him in trouble was a golf trip to Scotland, a famous golf trip to Scotland that may jog a few of your memories. And he didn't even golf. He never even swings a club. He hates golf. But some of his aides liked golf, and they all went to Scotland. That was part of that whole Tom DeLay trip. And that's what part of what sunk him and suddenly landed him in prison. But that's certainly much different than this missing whiskey. It's a mystery. That's all I can say. It's a crazy, crazy mystery. Something that's pretty interesting that, once again, tripped up on my text from somebody about going into space. And the founder of Virgin Galactic, Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, is restarting ticket sales. And you know what they're starting at? $450,000. Yeah, that's double the $200,000 to the $250,000 paid by around 600 people who previously booked seats on Virgin's spaceship between 2005 and 2014. The company's looking to cash in on the success of the last fully crewed test flight. So, see, you really kind of blew your chance. If you were going to go, you should have jumped on this one early because doubling it, they're still selling. People are excited, and they are on a waiting list. They want to go. Well, I guess, you know, how else are you going to go? Branson, if you remember, beat Blue Origin owner Jeff Bezos to space in a battle of the billionaires. Bezos did it 9 days later. The next test flight will come in September and involve members of the Italian Air Force. There's going to be one further test after the September mission. Then the first commercial flights are going to take place in the third quarter of 2022. So what do you get? A single seat, multi-seats for couples, friends or family, and a full flight buyout. Two free seats on an earlier flight are still up for grabs in a prize draw with registrations open until September 1st. I mean, maybe you get lucky, so you could probably win that ticket, maybe. But how many people do you think are applying for that or registering for that? I think a lot of people. Once again, the early bird gets the worm. We know it. Meet you on the flip side. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com.
Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Chantel Cordier joins us now, and she is, picture this for a second, in the north coast of South Africa. Wow. I'm just conjuring up all kinds of incredible images and great places to write a book, by the way, because I think a peaceful place somewhere on the beach or somewhere else, some other nook and cranny, would be a lot of fun. And she has created planets. She's written a thought-provoking, actually two thought-provoking books that I think you're going to absolutely love. Chantel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's talk about your path to how did this all start? Did you ever think that you were going to become a writer and write these novels?
Well, definitely. I've been writing since I could spell. I just didn't know that I would be this successful, and I'm truly grateful. So I pictured myself being here, but not this big, not this successful.
So you write the first book, Shadow with Blue Eyes, Shadows of Blue is the other one. You got two books, right? Talk about what it was like coming up with the characters, coming up with a story idea. How did you create these worlds?
The first one was more or less based on my favorite soap star when I was growing up. And I was absolutely obsessed with her. I watched her on TV every day. So I started writing about her, well, my favorite couple. And I wrote the first one when I was 17. And then later on, I rewrote it, but I made my own story. It wasn't based off of the characters anymore. But it started with my favorite soap couple.
I love that. It starts with your favorite soap couple. So tell us about the book. Tell us about some of the characters.
Well, we have John Mancini. He is from another planet. He's from Newland. He is crazily romantic and charming and a little over-passionate. Then we have Marianne. She is the lead female character. She is a little bit broken after the death of her husband. She's unsure. She's lonely. She never knew what it was to have a real life with someone loving you. And then they meet each other, and it's just fireworks. It's complete fireworks, like boom, in your face. Then she has a daughter who is difficult, a teenage daughter, Jessica, facing all the things of losing her father, having to deal with the new man in her mother's life. And then we have Frank. Frank is my favorite character. Like, this guy is cool. Like, he's a doctor, so he saves everybody. He holds everybody together. He has this enormous sense of humor, so Frank is definitely my favorite.
I think I like Frank and John, especially when you said John was, wow, something. How many people want that in their life? So tell us more about the plot, the storyline. Don't give it all away, but give us a little bit of the plot of Shadow with Blue Eyes.
All right. Well, he comes to South Africa. He comes to Earth. Definitely not South Africa. And he is, like, looking for a cure, because his people on his planet actually has a disease and they're dying. And then he walks into Marianne because he knew her husband who had passed away before. And then they meet, and the way that she has to find out the truth about who he is and what he's looking for brings a little bit of tension into it. And then finding the cure is the big surprise, which I'm not going to give away. That is the big surprise, how they actually find the cure in the end.
Wow. And it sounds exciting with the planets, too. And how did you, when you were putting this together, and I know you mentioned about your favorite soap stars, but then that was an inspiration for it. But for the rest of it and actually pulling it together, how did you do that? How did you, was every day were you coming up, were the characters sort of writing themselves? Did they kind of take you in different directions? What was that process like?
Well, first of all, if I can start at the beginning, I am obsessed with planets. I am obsessed with anything space related. I think I was 4 and I could name all the planets, so I am obsessed with that. And specifically the planet Sirius. I love Sirius because you have Sirius and you have Canis Major. So I decided that I'm going to place my planet in between the two of them, a smaller planet, always hidden behind Sirius. So because if anybody goes to look it up, they won't see my planet there because I decided it's going to be hidden behind it. Then, yes, I think my characters wrote themselves, especially when I'm around music. I was scrubbed one day in the theater. I was a scrub nurse for 15 years. And I would listen to the music in theater while we are operating. And it's almost like the music would paint pictures for me. And I could actually see my characters interacting and doing things based on lyrics and music. That, I must admit, music was a big thing that made me write different scenes, finding my characters in different places and doing all sorts of things. So, yeah.
Wow. So you take us through Shadow with Blue Eyes, and you told me off the air it was a textbook of love, which immediately piques our interest. What do you hope people walk away with when they read this book? They read the first one out of the chute.
I want them to take away that you can find love anywhere. It's like thunder. It can strike at any time. I don't think there's limitations on love. Things like distance, time, looks, origin, color. I want people to understand that love is actually supposed to be a religion on its own. That's what I think. I think love is a religion on its own. There's no boundaries to it. And that's why I'm saying Shadow is the textbook of love, because I think I tried to write the love in my book so without boundaries, that you can just, like, fall into it without limitations. That's mostly what I wanted to write. That's why I think it's the textbook of love, if I may call it that.
I like it. So we move from that to Shadows of Blue. Tell us about that book, because that's the follow-up.
Yes. Shadows of Blue, the story continues, the love story, the fictional romance. and it gives a little bit more depth into the history of my planet and where it came from, where it all started, more into John's past, his family, his siblings, his parents. And then also there comes a huge war where they actually not only have to fight for their health, but the survival of their livelihood, their dignity, of their legacy, if I could put it like that.
Wow. And as I hear what you're saying, I think, boy, who knows how far this can go and how many books you can write. I think you're just going to keep on writing, right? And there's going to be another one after this. I'm certain of that.
Yeah, I'm hoping on 10 or 12. What do you think?
I think you could do 12. Absolutely. And I share that love of planets that you have, and it's just so interesting to me how you went into that intricate detail and how you created that planet. And I want to tell everyone, because I think it's cool that you're a mom, and I think immediately, what do kids think of their mother being this writer with this great gift? What do your kids think?
Well, I remember my middle child, he's 10, telling his friend on the phone, "My mom published a book. My mom is so cool." So I think they're proud of me. It warms my heart.
It's always good to be the cool mom. There's no question about that. And when I'm just picturing this. I love to open this up for the audience. When people are thinking of you, and I painted a picture, you're in a beautiful area, the north coast of South Africa. Where do you write? Do you find little pockets of time, or what's your process like?
Usually I like to write really late at night. Not when I was sick on the chemo, obviously, but I really like to sit in the sun. So it can be next to the pool. I love sitting on the beach if it's not too windy. But that's basically it. Either late at night or during the morning next to the pool or on the beach, anywhere where I can feel the sun.
Yeah. And boy, you painted the picture, because there again, the sun. And I picture people reading your book on the beach, by a pool, in a sunroom somewhere, or just nestled on a train, or, you know, in the middle of transportation someplace where they can get lost in the story. And I think you said this to me, too. They definitely have messages, but you really hope people are entertained.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And that's the idea.
Anyway.
Yeah. That's the idea with the characters. So it's just, for me, it's a coin flip. John Frank. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, you were just a delight. This is a great book. Pick it up on Amazon. Pick both of them up on Amazon. And we can't wait to see, Chantel, what happens in the future with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.